I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Russell Martin includes Hamza Igaman and Cyril Dessers in his Champions League squad. Kieran Tierney says he has nothing to prove when it comes to his fitness on his return to Celtic, and clubs prepare for another weekend of action in the Premier Sports Cup. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Hugh Keevans.
It's an odd business. Dessers and Igaman ready to play against Panathinaikos on Tuesday night, but have not had pre-season football, so surely neither will play against the Greeks. And as for Kieran Tierney, in newspaper terms, we always describe this as an emotional reunion with Celtic. It's a cliche, but in Tierney's case, it's factually correct. He says it's the easiest decision he ever made to leave Arsenal and go back to Celtic. Tomorrow, against Newcastle, it really will be an emotional reunion between Kieran Tierney and the Celtic fans.
Before we get properly started, there's probably something I should address for those watching on the live stream, and I'm sure after I say this, a lot of people will be rushing to the live stream to have a look. Hugh, you have a corker of a black eye. Yeah. Just first of all, want to make sure, before any jokes happen, you are okay. Yes,
I am okay, and right away, let me exonerate Mrs. Keevans. This is not her work. I'm throwing it out there. Who do you think did this to me? Yeah. There's a list of suspects going back four decades.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe one of the callers finally got a hold of you somewhere out and about in Glasgow. But yes, Hugh Keevans is all right. And you can speak to him on the phone. 0141-951-1025, whatever is on your mind. Maybe it is Russell Martin's Champions League squad. You want to take a look at that a bit more in depth. Cyril Dessers and Hamza Igaman are in it. Would you expect that they will play a part next Tuesday? There is also spaces for every single one of Russell Martin's new signings. But a good few players don't make the cut. The likes of Ridvan Yilmaz. What does the future hold for him? Robin Proper, Ben Davies, Clinton Insiala, Jose Cifuentes. A couple of injured players don't make the cut either, in Dujon Sterling and Rabi Matondo. So let us know what you think of that, Rangers fans and Celtic fans. We're going to be hearing from Kieran Tierney, the first time he has spoken since he returned to the club. He's been speaking about fitness concerns from other people. He's been speaking about just why he wanted to come back to Celtic. Get your calls in, 0141 951 1025. Let's go straight to the phones, shall we? Nadim is a Rangers fan in Livingston. Nadim, what are you thinking tonight?
Hi Andrew, hi Hugh. Thanks for taking my call. Speaking to the producer there, Andrew, the kind of biggest thing on my mind at the moment is we've got quite a big turnover in the players over the summer. Russell Martin's brought in quite a few of his own players, and we've got a huge tie on Tuesday. It just worries me the fact that we've only had three kind of friendlies. Recently to kind of prepare us for the big European tie. So, and all that, and not all of his new signings have obviously played in those games either. So, even though he's included them in his squad, which I understand because that's the team that he's building, and I'm totally behind him on that. Just worries me a little bit that he's included all these new players in the squad, and a lot of them haven't even played any games yet for Rangers, you know. And I understand that timing's a big thing because, you know, if Champions League qualifier, ideally, you know, you want it later on so you have a good pre-season and get other games under your belt, but that's not the case. We don't have that luxury, unfortunately. So just worries me a bit that maybe the games come too early in terms of getting the players into his system that Russell Martin wants, especially his new players, you know.
Well, it's far, far from ideal, but there's no point in worrying now, because what will be will be. Russell Martin, I suspect, inherited a pre-season schedule that was drawn up before he became head coach at the club. Yes, a tie of this magnitude is a big ask for Russell Martin and the players, most of whom have not played at Ibrox before. But there's no point in regrets or recriminations. The game's on Tuesday. I did hear one caller last night who got exasperated with Gordon Dalziel because Gordon wasn't making enough of a Rangers 4-1 win over Dunfermline in a closed-door pre-season friendly. But all of that is by the by now. Russell Martin, I'm sure, knows already what his starting lineup will be on Tuesday night. Yes, it's far from ideal, but Rangers were in a situation where they were taking over. They then had to appoint a head coach who then had to bring in six players so far.
And seven, I think, in total. Maybe eight if you count Oscar Cortez, I suppose.
But he was there before Russell Martin got there. But as I say, regrets, recriminations, it's too late. Russell Martin has to get the head down, play them, and whether there were no games at Ibrox or not, they just have to get on with it.
When it comes to the striking situation, Nadim, it looks as if, I mean, Danilo has been the one that's been starting up front because Cyril Dessers and Hamza Igaman have had their own separate issues. Yes, there's been transfer interest around the two of them, but Cyril Dessers had a bit of a knock when he arrived back for pre-season training. There were visa issues with Hamza Igaman. The two of them are in the squad. Would you expect either of them to start? Do you think it's going to be Danilo in from the start?
Yeah, it's a good question, Andrew. I think, for me, no question that Danilo's he's the third best striker that we've got at Ibrox. You know, for me, it's Dessers is number one, then it's Igaman, and then it's Danilo. But the fact that, Hamza's a bit of a quandary for me because, you know, you'd have thought he'd have got all the visa stuff sorted well before now. You'd have thought that had been sorted well before now, but I can understand Dessers because he's been injured. But for me, yeah, I think, I don't know if you could just throw Igaman in. You probably could if it's all fine and he's not injured. I'd go with Igaman, absolutely. I'd start with Igaman if he's match fit. If he's not, then obviously Danilo is going to be the one that leads the line. I think he did really well against Dunfermline, but the only thing that worries me is there's quite a big difference between Dunfermline and the Greek, you know, the Greeks that we'll be playing next week. Just coming back on Hugh's point there, if you don't mind, Andrew. No recriminating, no regrets. I'm not saying it from a regrets point of view, Hugh. I'm just saying it, you know, what I'm saying is it's far from ideal in terms of the preparation that we would have. I'm 100% Rangers, you know, behind them. I hope we'll do that. The only worry for me is the fact that over the last few seasons, we've done really well in Europe and we've not had a bigger turnover in players as this for a long time. So for me, you know, ideally, I would love to say we're going to win and we're going to get through. But if I was to say that, I'd be speaking more from my heart than it would be from my head, you know?
Well, I would agree with you, Nadim, insofar as Igaman should play. Because such is the magnitude of this game. The things that are riding on it. You know, you have to go to Greece and that's the tie the wrong way round for most people. You'd rather have Panathinaikos going to Ibrox for the second leg, but you have to do your work at Ibrox and hope it's enough to sustain you in Greece. Therefore, far from ideal, but I would just go with the players that I thought would put the down payment on qualification for the Champions League, and never mind how much practice they've had or training sessions or this or that.
Is there also a train of thought that maybe Russell Martin thinks Danilo is a better fit for his system and thinks he could be the man to lead the line, set of eyes?
Yeah, exactly. From now on, it's Russell Martin's call. You know, what's happened in the past with Danilo or Dessers or Igaman, for that matter, is neither here nor there. It's Russell Martin's call. He looks at them, he knows how fit they are, he knows what they have to give on Tuesday night, and if he thinks Danilo is the top of the bunch, then Danilo will start.
Rangers can still make two changes to that squad up until, I think it's 24 hours before the game, Nadine. So that means if there are transfers made in that time, that they could still be involved. Are there any areas in particular that you think it's vital that Russell Martin goes into the market for?
Yeah, Andrew, I think the left-back position for me, even last season when we had Yefte, Andrew had Yilmaz, for me, they're good players. but they're not top players, you know. So for me, I think left back, especially with the news recently that Yilmaz hasn't been included in the squad, and there's a good chance that he might be going back to Turkey. So I think left back's a big area that we do need to strengthen on. And also, if the rumours are to believe in Dessers and maybe Egerman or both are going to move on, then maybe a striker as well. But you don't know until obviously they go. But for me, left back, even with Yefte and Yilmaz there, I think you still need to strengthen that area as well, you know.
I do wonder when it comes to left back, certainly the reports from the friendly win over Dunfermline were that Max Aarons was the one that played left back in that game and James Tavernier right back. You do wonder whether that's something that either A, Russell Martin is just doing now, if he feels he doesn't have the right option at left back, or he maybe feels that could be a position that he could play throughout the season and going forward.
My guess is that Aarons would play Tuesday night. With regard to what might happen before then, the Conor Coady business is a strange one. It's been going on now for quite some time. I thought he'd be in the door by now. But again, Russell Martin, could it be that Conor Coady comes from Leicester City's pre-season training camp and plays at Ibrox the following day? You know, my mind is open to anything happening.
Well, thank you to Nadim, 01419511025 on the phones. Gary is in South Queensferry. Gary, what are you making of it all?
Hi, guys. How you doing? All right?
Good, thank you.
I just wanted to ask Hugh with a black eye a wee quick question. Listen, see if with the 49ers enterprise and stuff like that, if you were in charge of that with, say, for instance, Celtic's track record of managers, i.e. Rangers track managers, would you give a manager a three-year contract? I mean, what I mean in being saying that, why didn't they just give Russell Martin a one-year contract? Or do you think he wouldn't have signed?
Well, my suspicion would be that he would not have signed. Who signs a one-year contract when you've been asked to do a job of that size?
I think Celtic have done that previously with managers, though, and had them on a sort of one-year rolling contract, which it isn't quite the same thing. But can you see where Gary's coming from? That it, you know, is a commitment, but you need to balance that off against would a manager actually come in and sign a one-year contract?
I think if you had the list of men that Rangers, Fortinet Enterprises, whatever, had before them, and you've chosen Russell Martin ahead of, for example, Davide Ancelotti, then you have to show complete faith in him and trust in your own judgment, because you picked him, and you have to trust in your own judgment and show that you believe in your own judgment by giving him a three-year contract. It may turn out to be they made the wrong decision. However, it may turn out to be they've got themselves the right guy.
Gary, is that you saying that you're not fully confident in the appointment?
I'm not going with it. I'm not too sure about it at all. I was wanting to see a lot more games with the new players that have came in. At least three games at Ibrox, at least three or four games at Ibrox, to give them the actual a wee taste of what's to be expected of them with the fans and stuff like that. Just before this game on Tuesday. I'm really struggling to see them actually getting through, and then I could see probably Higgerman or Dessers, maybe Higgerman for more money and stuff like that going if they didn't qualify. I thought there'd be a lot more game time rather than the bounce games and stuff.
It's not Rangers' fault that the Champions League qualifiers are scheduled for late July.
Gary's saying that he feels that the games that Rangers have played, TNS in a behind-closed-door friendly, Barnsley in a behind-closed-door friendly, the same as Dunfermline, that he feels they'd be better prepared if they were maybe playing tougher opposition in front of fans rather than playing those types of matches.
Yeah, listen to the programme this week. This has become a major issue. But did Russell Martin drop the schedule? I doubt it. Because he brought in at a late stage. I suspect the schedule was there and he had to get on with it. And, you know, when Gary says, I'm not sure, if you're Andrew Kavanagh, 49ers Enterprises, you can't conduct your business by saying, oh, I'm not sure. You make your decisions, the hard calls, and you stick by your decisions and you give the man the 3-year contract because you believe in him. And it's now Russell Martin's baby.
If we take the signings sort of separately, Gary, from the preparation, how confident do they make you feel going into Tuesday night, the players that have been brought in by Russell Martin and included in the Champions League squad?
Well, how many actual players has he brought in that's actually played in Europe?
But again, that's not a consideration. Russell Martin has to assemble players that he knows, respects, thinks can do a job for Rangers. You don't automatically say how many times they played in Europe. You know, the Celtic supporters, for example, are very excited with Benji Nygren on the basis of our game against Sporting Lisbon in midweek. And I dare say he's got no European experience to speak of.
Well, if you look at the example of Rangers making it to the Europa League final in 2022, you've got to imagine that most of the Rangers squad that made it there hadn't really had any European experience before, or too much of it before they came to Rangers, Gary.
Yeah, that's the prime example that I mean, as in playing, you know, getting the players out at Ibrox with you know, whatever it is, say 30,000 fans turning up, saying playing against, I don't know, Celtic are playing at Parkhead against Newcastle tomorrow night, rather than playing a bounce game against Dunfermline. I mean,
but just on your point about the players not having prior, you know, European experience, do you feel that is absolutely vital for these players to go and hit the ground running in these games? Because we've seen previously that players have come in to both Celtic and Rangers and not played in Europe, but actually taken to it quite well.
Absolutely, it's massive for them. It's a total game changer for them, for their confidence and everything like that.
You have a set of circumstances here that are far from ideal, but there's no way around it. Russell Martin has signed players that he thinks will do a good job for Rangers. The fact that they have no European experience, that may turn out to be an issue, or it may not be an issue at all. But Russell Martin has to play with the cards he's been dealt, and the game's on Tuesday, and whether they have European experience or not, whether he has made the right signings or not, we'll soon know, but we'll only know on the evidence of games. And Rangers, as I say, it's not Rangers' fault that the Champions League qualifier comes before the domestic league has started. They just have to get on with it.
Well, thank you to Gary, 01419511025. If you've got anything to add to that, maybe you're a Celtic fan that has some thoughts on tomorrow's friendly against Newcastle. Kieran Tierney making his return to Celtic Park. We've been speaking to him today, so we will hear a bit of that. Maybe you're going out to a Premier Sports Cup game this weekend as well. We want to hear from you. 01419511025, but let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Your chance to take on Hugh Keevans at Beat the Pundit. All you need to do is ring 01419511025. I'd know, and you could be up next.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time to get your calls in, 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, we want to hear what you're thinking about Kieran Tierney's return, because he spoke to the media for the first time today since his return to Celtic. He'll be back on that Celtic Park pitch tomorrow, playing against Newcastle in a friendly. So maybe you've got some thoughts on that. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, we've been continuing that debate about how prepared Rangers are going to be for the Panathinaikos game. We've seen the squad now that is ready to take on the Greek side. So what do you make of that? 0141 951 1025. Maybe you're more interested in the Premier Sports Cup. You can give us a call as well. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Ewan is in Irvine. Ewan, how do you fancy your chances against Hugh Keevans?
Yeah, I fancy my chances. I'm confident.
Oh, I like it. Bold, bold. What gives you the confidence?
I've got decent ball knowledge. I back myself.
He's got good ball knowledge. Do you use that phrase quite a lot, Hugh?
No.
No, never. I can't imagine you've ever even come across the phrase ball knowledge.
No.
No.
Not it's for more me. Of a... Anyway, tonight's a game with a twist. It's beat the black and blue pundit.
That is true. That is true, Ewan. You're maybe catching Hugh on a good day. Have you played before?
No, I'm first time.
First time, there we go. I like it. He's got the confidence. First time, right? We will put some greatest hits radio in the ear of Hugh Keevans so he cannot hear us. Ewan, it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if that helps you out time-wise. How does that sound?
Yeah, that's right.
Right, let's do it. Who were the last Greek club Rangers played?
Was it Athens?
Celtic no. played in which former England captain's testimonial in 2006?
Sorry?
Celtic played in which former England captain's testimonial in 2006?
Alan Shearer.
Scotland infamously wore what colour of strip against Georgia in 2007?
Oh, pass.
Alan Mabry manages which League 2 club?
Edinburgh City.
Okay, we will bring Hugh Keevans back in. Can you hear us, Hugh?
I can.
30 seconds on the clock for Hugh. Let's go. Who were the last Greek club that Rangers played?
AEK.
Celtic played in which former England captain's testimonial in 2006?
Pass.
Scotland infamously wore what colour of strip against Georgia in 2007?
White.
Alan Mabry manages which League 2 club?
Edinburgh City.
Which Hibs legend had a stand named after him this summer?
Paddy Stanton.
How many top flight titles have Dundee United won?
One.
Guess the year Gretna reached the Scottish Cup final and Lennon Miller was born.
2007.
Okay, how do you think your ball knowledge fared, Ewan?
Not very well. Not very well.
I thought they were a tough set of questions tonight, in fairness. Maybe your speed helped you there, Hugh. We will see. Who were the last Greek club that Rangers played last season? Olympiakos. Neither of you got it. So it is 0-0 to kick things off. Celtic played in which former England captain's testimonial in 2006? You passed this one, Hugh. Ewan went for Alan Shearer. And it's correct. Alan Shearer is the right answer. Of course,
well
topical.
Done,
Celtic playing against Newcastle tomorrow. So it goes 1-0 to Ewan. Scotland infamously wore what colour of strip against Georgia in 2007? Not remember this? That maroon-coloured top.
No.
It wasn't one of the best, I don't think.
Did Ewan get it?
Ewan didn't get it either. So it remains 1-0 to Ewan. Alan Mabry manages which League 2 club? Ewan said Edinburgh City. Hugh said Edinburgh City. Somehow you both got the exact same wrong answer, because it's Stirling Albion, which is the correct answer. So it's 1-0 still to Ewan. But that was the end of the road for Ewan. And Hugh got three more questions in the 30 seconds. Which Hibs legend had a stand named after him this summer? You went for Pat Stanton. Pat Stanton is the correct answer. 1-1. How many top flight titles have Dundee United won? You knew this one. You got it quickly. 1 is the correct answer.
14th of May 1983. I can even give you the date.
Added context as well. He's showing off now, Ewan. But didn't show off too much, because the next question was, guess the year Gretna reached the Scottish Cup final and Lennon Miller was born. You said 2007. You were only 1 year out. 2006 was the answer. It's a scrappy win, but Hugh Keevans will not mind. 2-1. Unlucky, Ewan.
No, it's a pleasure playing. Thanks very much.
Call again,
no
Ewan.
No problem at all. Maybe it was the pressure of first time for Ewan that got to him. He felt confident at the start. Didn't quite go to plan.
We have a hibby in the family, and he showed me a lovely video of Pat Stanton being told they were going to name a stand after him. Paddy was just a wonderful man. 80 years old now, Paddy, but what a great thing for him.
01419511025 on the phones. Let's hear a bit from Kieran Tierney, shall we? Speaking to the media for the first time today since returning to Celtic ahead of that friendly against Newcastle at Celtic Park tomorrow. He's speaking about his return, and he said it was the easiest decision possible, and he can't wait to work with Brendan Rodgers again.
It's probably the easiest signing Celtic's had to make, and easiest decision I've had to make as well. It was when I knew I was going to be a free agent in the summer. Things can happen in January, so the talks obviously started then. And once we found out it wouldn't happen in January, it was like, it'll be the summer, first thing in the summer. Yeah, he played a huge part, but ultimately as well, it's Celtic, so I was always happy with that. But being with the gaffer again, and people like John Kennedy, who I've always kept in touch with, is amazing. Like, I've loved playing under the gaffer. Like, played so many games under him, was so successful, so happy. A great manager, and delighted to be back with him as well.
Davey is a Celtic fan, and Yoker, Davey, how much are you looking forward to Kieran Tierney being back out there for Celtic?
I can't wait to see him back. He's sounding strong, he's sounding confident. A lot of people think he's made of glass, but the Arsenal fans that I know, they love him as well. I met a young lad in a holiday in Cyprus there, and he was greeting that Tierney had left Arsenal.
I've rarely met anyone quite so Celtic as Kieran. Always go back to that cup final against Aberdeen where Jaden Stockley rearranged Kieran's teeth, and he had to go and get dental treatment and was back in time for the presentation of the cup. And you know, the way he got onto the podium and held the cup in front of the Celtic fans, you know, I thought, this guy is Mr. Celtic. So he's made a decision that lots of people would not have made, because the drop in wages must be substantial between Arsenal and Celtic. But he's done it because he loves Celtic, and it's as simple as that. So he will get a tumultuous welcome from the fans tomorrow.
Yeah, Davey mentioned that some people will talk about Kieran Tierney's injury and availability record. Kieran Tierney was asked about that today. He says he has nothing to prove about his fitness on returning to Celtic. He says his aim is to keep the club as successful as possible.
Nah, nothing, because I know how much I work professionally myself, on my body, on my recovery, being as ready as I can be for games. I'm not here to prove anything. I'm just here to do the best for Celtic and see where it goes. Personal and the collective one for me is just the same. It's just to keep Celtic successful as possible, maintain our place at the top, and I think that's the objective. I'll probably take on more of a experienced player role, as in now when I left I was 21, 22, and now I come back 20 years old with a lot more experience than I had, so there's the younger boys in the team.
David, does that not concern you at all then? I know people will inevitably talk about Kieran Tierney and his injury record, but are you quite confident that he'll be able to play most of the season?
Yeah, I think he's a lot tougher now. I think playing in the Premiership for Arsenal, I know he got injuries there as well, but I think it's toughened them up.
Well, time will tell. Yeah. We can't speculate. Time will tell how often Kieran is able to play, but he sounds so delighted to be back. And he comes back with a maturity now. I mean, he was the boy with the megaphone entertaining the fans at the end of games and so on and so forth. But this is a mature man Celtic are getting now. You know, he's had his time in the English Premier League. He's had his time with Real Sociedad. And he can play in more than one position now, not just an out-and-out fullback. So as pieces of business go, to get Kieran Tierney back for nothing, and I know that wages are important and signing on fee, etc., but to get him back after once having sold him for £25 million is an outstanding piece of business.
Would you expect him to play different positions, Davey? We've seen what he's done for Scotland before, even at Celtic, you know, prior to leaving, he did play at centre-back, left centre-back a couple of times. Would you expect him to be moved around a bit by Brendan Rodgers, or do you reckon he'll just stick to that left-back position?
I think he'll be mostly left back, but Brendan Rodgers likes to experiment a bit, so yeah, maybe he'll move him about. But I think mainly he'll be the left back, you know, because Greg Taylor's gone, which I'm very sad about.
Well, you can understand now, Davey, that Greg Taylor's looked at the situation, and if Greg looked in on Kieran Tierney's press conference today, he would think to himself, "I've done the right thing." Because Celtic are getting the great Celtic man back, and I was always going to be second fiddle. So I think Greg Taylor, who apparently has started very, very well at Pauk in Greece, I think Greg Taylor has looked after Greg Taylor.
Do you think that backup option still needs to be brought in, Davey? I know quite a few Celtic fans like the look of Hayato Inamura when he slotted in at left back against Cork City. Do you think he could be the man to play back up to Kieran Tierney, or do you reckon that will still be a position Brendan Rodgers is looking at?
I think he could be. He looks a good player, but I think Brendan will always be looking for something more, you know.
Inamura is a very, very interesting one for me. We understand that the fee was in the region of £250,000, which is loose change for Celtic. But I think he's taken Brendan Rodgers by surprise.
Well, Brendan Rodgers was almost not dismissive of him when he first came in, but he said he wasn't really going to be part of the first team,
yeah,
and expected that he would probably go out on loan. But I wonder if his mind has maybe changed on that.
Well, you know, again, like Russell Martin, Brendan Rodgers can only go on what he sees. And clearly, Inamura has taken him by surprise. So I'd be surprised if Celtic put him out on loan because he may just be a diamond that you've unearthed.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with Shin Yamada as well when that transfer eventually goes through, because Brendan Rodgers, when he was asked about Shin Yamada over in Portugal, he said similar in that, you know, we'll take a look at him, we'll see what he's got, but we're still looking to strengthen in that area. So it's hard to tell exactly what's going to happen with him once he comes in.
By Yamada's own admission, publicly admitted that he was having a bad time of it. The goals had dried up. So he's gone to Celtic, and Adam Ida is having his difficulties at the moment. Yamada will have to see what he does when he gets here. But Yamada, Adam Ida, Celtic need a high-calibre striker in. Dyson Maeda, Player of the Year last season, outstanding. But you don't know if he can replicate that, or if Brendan Rodgers doesn't want to play him through the middle, would rather have him out wide. Celtic need to be doing business in terms of a high-calibre striker.
Well, thank you to Davey. 01419511025. Give us a call now and you could be up next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time to get your calls in. 01419511025. We've been looking at Kieran Tierney's return to Celtic Park tomorrow. He's back for that friendly against Newcastle. He's been speaking to the media for the first time today. Rangers fans, we'll be getting your opinion on Russell Martin's Champions League squad and what that means for the Panathinaikos doubleheader, and maybe you're heading along to a Premier Sports Cup game this weekend and want to chat about it. 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to Ian, who is a Celtic fan in Greenock. Ian, Kieran Tierney back at Celtic Park tomorrow. Looking forward to that.
Brilliant. Hi, Andrew. Good evening. And good evening, Hugh.
Hi there.
Hugh was talking at just before the break regarding Kieran, listening to him. It's business. A model, business model at Parkhead is phenomenal. Two players, well, quite a few players went out at £25 million, but two players in particular, one ended up with a freak injury, which we'll not see obviously January, February next year in Jota. But if you look at the two bits of business, Sue and Andrew, £50 million, one comes back in a free transfer. And being hypothetical, we only paid £1.5 million for Jota, because we get £8.5 million for, or £10 million for Furuhashi. So the two players coming back is dreamland. But you were talking, Hugh, to Andrew during the break. I've listened to you talking about an out-and-out striker.
Uh-huh.
Now, you've been following Matthias Fitzgerald. Celtic, obviously, the last 2-3 windows, we're looking at him. Now, me, personally, I don't think Celtic put in a bid for Matthias Fitzgerald because he went to Norwich City, Hugh, because they opened up the transfer clause. He went to Norwich City for £6.7 million. Now, there are a lot of rumours going about through the media. No, I'm not saying you, Hugh, I'm just saying through different, you know, codes, papers, etc., etc., saying that Celtic had bid 8.5 million, 9 million. The fee was going to go up to 13.5 million. But he goes to Norwich City Championship team.
Yeah.
For 6.7 million, Shoe. Come on.
Well,
you're the Celtic manager, Shoe. You're going to push the boat out and put in a bid, and that'll open up that transfer clause, a release clause.
You were discussing something, and we don't know the background. You know, we don't know how far Celtic went with this one, to what extent Brendan Rodgers wanted the player. I am speaking in generalities. I don't have confidence in Adam Ida being the first pick striker. It would be asking a lot for Shin Yamada to become the automatic choice as out-and-out striker. Johnny Kenny, still too inexperienced for that role. Dyson Maeda, is he wanted elsewhere by Brendan Rodgers? My feeling is, in general terms, Celtic absolutely need a quality striker in. Kyogo Furuhashi was not adequately replaced last season, and it showed, particularly on Cup Final Day. So Celtic are obliged. You pointed out the business model is fantastic. Celtic have done great business with regard to Jota and Kieran Tierney. The money is there, and there is a glaring vacancy for backup for Kieran Tierney, glaring vacancy for a striker of quality, and also, I think, for a central defender. So Brendan Rodgers has to be given the backing because the money's there. We know the positions that need filled, and the clock is ticking.
Is that something that frustrated you over the last 6 months, the fact that Kyogo wasn't replaced properly with an out-and-out striker, Ian?
Oh, 100%. But listen, Hugh's hit a nail on the head. And Hugh's saying last season, you're right last season, but it was January. Now, Hugh, you follow Celtic, knowing you do a lot, and you look at the players that they've got and they're using. Now, if you were in Furuhashi's shoes, Hugh, and just being hypothetical, I mean, you're only a 70, 71, 72-year-old man. No, I mean, you're a gentleman.
75-year-old man, I have been
checking.
I was going to say 75, but I didn't want to get a slap off you.
No.
But what I'm saying about Kyogo, now, he left, but I don't know if he knew that we were playing Bayern Munich over two legs. Now, I thought we were very, very, very unlucky. I thought we should have won over the two legs, Shoe. Now, I was at a game at Parkhead, but I wasn't in Munich. But obviously, we watched the game in Munich on TNT Sports or something like that, it's called. But you're right, we never replaced him.
No.
I don't think we've replaced Matt Arela either.
I don't think that you can blame Kyogo. He thought, I've done all I want to do at Celtic and I'd like to try somewhere else. And Celtic got very good money for him.
There was certainly a bit of a narrative at the time as well that if he went to a top five league, that potentially it would be more attractive to the Japan manager to get him in the squad. In hindsight, that obviously hasn't worked out because he now finds himself at Birmingham, but that certainly was the talk at the time.
I thought, you know, why not bring him back? But Celtic chose not to. And that's fine. You know, their recruitment policy has served them well, but there are glaring vacancies in the team, and I would expect to see them filled. I think the pressure will intensify a week on Monday when Celtic learn who they have to play in a Champions League qualifier. I go back to the point, the squad as it stands at the moment tonight, the 18th of June, July, is weaker than it was at the end of May. And as I say, Kyogo in the year 2025, Kyogo has gone. Jota sadly has had a very, very serious injury. Greg Taylor has gone. Nicholas Kuhn has gone. The squad is weaker. Brendan Rodgers can't have that.
Well, thank you to Ian. We can quickly squeeze in Brian in Stirling. Brian, what are you making of it all?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I hope Hugh's all right. You know, that black eye. You know, I usually say, what do you say to Hugh when he's got two black eyes? Nothing. He's been told twice already. But that's just a joke. I hope that you're all right, Hugh. I really do.
Absolutely fine.
As a 5-year-old man.
Absolutely fine.
It's a hematoma. It's quite a bad thing on your eye. So, yeah. Kieran Tierney is an amazing, an amazing signing. You're right, absolutely right. I place him in the Celtic fan with the ability, international class player on the field to represent the Celtic fans. And that Celtic fans is, right across the board. So Kieran Tierney is not a problem, whether he's, he's injury prone or never, or, he's had the operations in England. He's a better player than he left when he comes back to us. But you're addressing the forward line. Celtic have players within the squad now that could pretty much take on the Scottish League easily enough. What would bother me is if we get, hopefully, we pass through the qualification process into the group stages, then we're looking for the quality. But I speak about this a few times through the season. I don't know if I spoke to you, Hugh. The domino effect of transfers. So it takes, high-end people moving to clubs, then to release players that would pretty much fit into the mould of Celtic, buying at a price that, we're not always looking to sell, but it needs that domino effect where a high-end team buys that player, then this player moves to that team, then frees up this player.
Yeah, Brian, I'll put that to Hugh just because we're running short on time at the moment. Sometimes there is that domino effect, Hugh. Yeah. That might be there might be moving parts that Celtic are just waiting to fall so that they can make their move and get that striker or left-back or centre-back.
But part of the game now, you have a recruitment department, and we all know about databases and analytics and all the rest of it. You don't necessarily have to wait for the domino effect to come into play. You would like to think that a club of Celtic size in the recruitment department, for example, Benjamin Nygren, who already looks to be a bargain at the money that Celtic paid for him. Celtic can afford to look for another top class striker. I'm not talking about £20 million players, but perhaps more ambitious than a £1.5 million Japanese project.
Well, thank you to Brian, and thank you for all your calls out there tonight. Thank you for listening in, watching on the live stream, and thank you to Hugh Keevans for joining me in the studio as well. I'll be back next week, Monday night, 6 o'clock. That will be the final week of the one-hour summer shows, and then we'll be back to the full bells and whistles 2 hours. So make sure to join us next week. Of course, there is those Champions League qualifiers, Rangers in action on Tuesday. Then there are the Europa League, Conference League qualifiers on Thursday as well. More transfers as well. So looking forward to going through that. And make sure to stick around tonight, because it is, as always, the perfect way to kick off your weekend. It's the GBX.